welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and we are really excited to welcome our guest today, whose book will be out February of 2022, just in time for a little romance. Please introduce yourself and tell us about your book.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Alexandria Bellaflor, and my book, Count Your Lucky Stars, comes out on February 1st. It is the third book in the Written in the Stars interconnected series of standalones, and we are following Margot, who is the loyal best friend who is seen in Written in the Stars and Hang the Moon. And, you know, she's feeling a little bit like a fifth wheel as she's helping plan her best friend's wedding. And lo and behold, the wedding planner turns out to be her first love.
Yeah, it was great. And it was super steamy. And the romance is between two women. And I believe it's a pansexual character and a bisexual character.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, there's been a lot of chatter about that, which is just really, really cool in so many ways. When did you decide it was time to tell Margot's story?
I had it planned from the very beginning. I knew when I plotted Written in the Stars that Margot was going to have to get her happily ever after, but it was going to take some time for her to reach that point. I had it planned. I knew that I wanted her to get that big happily ever after because she's been such a great friend and so loyal.
That's really nice. And I have to say, this is so much fun because, first of all, very, very quickly, I sort of met you at the PLA conference in Tennessee before everything shut down.
Right. That was like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, I know. When did that even happen? And for those who are listening who are not into the library publishing lingo, PLA is Public Library Association. And the last time it was held was in Nashville, Tennessee, right in February of 2020, before everything shut down. And I got a chance to go to this awesome party at the library there. And Alexandria was there talking about Written in the Stars, which sounded like so much fun that as soon as the chance to interview her on the podcast about Count Your Lucky Stars came up, I was like, absolutely. So you had the whole story really like in your mind that each of these characters were going to find love and it was going to focus on different ones each time. So the love story between Margot and Olivia is just super fun and it's super adorable. So they were together-ish in high school.
Right. Yeah. They were best friends and then kind of became more, a spring break kind of tryst. And then after some, not quite miscommunication, but some misunderstandings happened, they were high schoolers. They went their separate ways and haven't seen each other then in 11, 12 years.
So Friends to Lovers is a really popular romantic trope. But you managed to keep it fresh. Was there anything you had in your mind while you were sort of writing this story that kind of helped that along?
I think I wanted to kind of put my own twist on it with them being estranged friends to lovers. So having, kind of them have to rediscover their friendship before they could jump back in and, develop a romantic relationship. Because I love when, they have to like learn where they've been a decade, decades past. They have to rediscover each other as people. They've grown and they've come to the point where they now are right for each other, but they weren't in the past. So keeping that growth, their separate growth in mind was definitely something that I wanted to focus on.
And it really worked out really nicely. And that is true about, when you're not in the person's life, you have hints of who they were, but you don't really know the lifetime that happened between the last time you saw them. And there was so much with that because Olivia had been married to Brad, and that, you know, that ended. But just having this sort of be in the midst of planning the wedding of Brendan and Annie from Hang the Moon, just, I don't know, it just was like the cherry on the top of the ice cream sundae. Like, you have so much growth between the first book and the this one, and just kind of seeing everybody come together. And by the way, the cat was a nice little twist as well.
Yeah, I definitely wanted the cat to kind of be a character unto itself, and, you know, add some flavor, some hijinks, some humor. I definitely wanted the cat to lighten things up.
Yeah, it was, you know, because there's definitely, like, with this, it's not like, not that there's anything wrong with all with fluff, but there's definitely some, you know, some heart and some situations that come up just with family and, you know, with Olivia's father. And right. I don't want to give too much away, but you really run the gamut of emotions in this book.
Right. Yeah. I definitely felt like this book had the potential to be the heaviest, dealing with, you know, divorce and kind of grief and, you know, aging parents. And so I wanted some comic relief because it had the potential to be the heaviest of the three. But, you know, it's a rom-com, so it still needed to have those lighthearted moments.
So with that said, is this the last in this quote unquote series? Will you bring these characters together again at any point, do you think?
This is the last one in the series. I do like to say never, but I definitely picture this as being the last. I think the epilogue kind of ties it all together, and I hope that readers will be satisfied with, you know, every couple gets their happily ever after, and it ties it up. But yeah, never say never. I would be open to potentially revisiting the characters in the future, but I don't have any current plans.
That's kind of the impression I got. But then at the same time, you know, it's just interesting because I feel like I'm really enjoying this whole idea of interconnected series, not just with the Written in the Stars, but I've been reading a bunch of series recently where, you know, especially, and they all tend to be rom-coms, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. where, you know, like you have like a circle of friends, but you sort of give another friend spotlight in a different book. And I think like what comes to mind is Alicia Ray.
Yeah, her books do that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which are super nice. And I love it because it's just sort of, you know, nobody's a side character, nobody's a sidekick. And I think that it's, you know, it's just a really nice way of storytelling. So throughout the whole series, like, did you have favorite characters? Was Margot definitely a favorite that you couldn't wait to write about as a main character?
Yeah, I love Margot. Since I wrote her as, you know, Elle's best friend, I was eagerly awaiting her book. It's funny because I got this question a lot with Written in the Stars: are you an Elle or are you a Darcy? And I was waiting to be able to say, actually, I feel like I'm a Margot. So I was waiting for that. And I ended up becoming very attached to her throughout the series. And then introducing Olivia was a nice change of pace because then I identified with aspects of her character. But I was definitely nervous to introduce somebody new, you know, this late in the game. So I hope that readers will also, you know, root for her.
I think that they absolutely will. And it's another thing, and I'm actually going to give a shout out to my sister-in-law because I handed her this book because she had been complaining just in general that she feels like she would embrace rom-coms more if the main characters were queer. So mm-hmm. I kind of slid the book over to her and I'm like, well, here you go. We're seeing so many wonderful, you know, I don't want to say reworkings because they're really what bring people joy in rom-coms, but with, you know, representation of non-hetero love.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every single year, I feel like there are more and more. The lists are coming out, you know, like most anticipated queer romances of 2022, and the list is just growing every single year. And it makes me so happy because I feel like the more queer romances we have, I mean, everybody wins because then you can have those, you know, very, you know, those depictions and authors don't have to carry the weight because no group is a monolith. So nobody's having to, you know, carry the weight of the queer experience because there's no such thing. So I'm just excited to see so many coming out next year.
Yeah, it really is lovely. And I think, you know, it just brings so many people joy. I know that rom-coms are so many people's comfort food. And while we're recording this, actually, this is like Hallmark movie season. And, I'm seeing a lot of books that are sort of taking the Hallmark movie tropes. When you were writing the series, so Darcy and Elle were very loosely based on Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, yeah, very loosely based, more character archetypes than like a beat for beat plot retelling.
Which was great, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you feel like you needed to sort of fit those two things together for the follow-ups as well?
Oh, no. It's funny because some people will, you know, message me and they're like, oh, so Hang the Moon is like, you know, it's a retelling of, and they'll think it's a retelling of something, or Count Your Lucky Stars is a retelling of something. And they're not. Those aren't related to Pride and Prejudice or any of Jane Austen's novels in any way.
Yeah, it was funny because when I read Hang the Moon at first, I'm like, oh, is this Sense and Sensibility? And then I'm like, no, it's not. But they, you know, it's like they stand very well on their own. But the nod to Elizabeth and Darcy in Written in the Stars was sort of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I would say that some of the secondary characters sort of had influences, like little flavors, like combinations. Brendan was kind of a Bingley character in Written in the Stars in my brain, but that didn't carry through in, you know, his book.
Yeah, I think that it's, there could be some fun, liberating things about sort of retelling a classic, but I guess it could also cage you in a little bit if, like, yes, you feel like they have to fit that archetype.
Exactly. Yeah.
So are you working on anything after this series?
Yeah, I am. We recently announced I got another 3-book deal with Avon that I'm very excited about. The first in the series, well, it's not a series, sorry, they're all standalones this time. The first is another sapphic rom-com, and it's called The Fiancé Farce, and it is a marriage of convenience between a bookstore owner and a romance novel cover model.
Wow.
Yes, I'm so excited about it. I was dying to be able to talk about it, and we finally announced the deal the beginning of this month, I think, beginning of December. Yeah, so that'll be coming in, 2023.
Oh my gosh, which is like around the corner as of this.
Before you know it.
But who knows, because did 2020 even happen? I don't know. So within this time period, have you been able to read yourself? And if so, what have you been enjoying?
Oh yeah, I've tried to squeeze in some personal reading. I feel so lucky that I've been able to, you know, get all these arcs of books that are coming out next year, and even I think some in 2023. I have started reading Mistakes Were Made by Meryl Wilsner, and it is fantastic. I also recently read Delilah Green Doesn't Care by Ashley Herring Blake.
And I am dying to read that.
It is amazing. It is so, so, so good. I can't wait for everybody to read about it so I can gush about it with everybody. It comes out, I think, February 22nd. And yeah, it's a delight. It's amazing. Like I said, I'm just so excited about all of the different queer books and queer romances and sapphic romances. It's just, we we're so lucky that we have so many now.
Yeah, I think that it's, I don't want to say, I don't remember if you said this earlier, the floodgates have opened, but it's just so nice to see, you know, even yes. things like, what was it, Red, White, and Royal Blue, when that came out,
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, it's like, and it's not, I don't want to say, you know, it's like, you need to break new ground. It's just existing and it's happy. And, you know, it gives people a chance to experience the feels that they feel, but see themselves in it.
Yes, absolutely. Those, I always love when, you know, rom-coms have made this resurgence, and I think it's important to show that joy is worthy of being represented. Of course, you know, heavier topics are, you know, worthy of being explored as well, but just joy, especially queer joy, I feel like, coming out narratives and, you know, when people are grappling with their identity, that's very much needed, but just joy, I think, is also, you know, worthy of being seen as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even from like the YA front, I think for a while, the only book that was really out there, and, you know, it's a classic, I'm not going to squash it in any means, but there was Annie on My Mind, I think.
I think sounds right.
But, you know, again, it's like, and again, it's like a product of its time, because you couldn't really be out during the time when that book came out. And it wasn't like, you know, it blew a lot of people's minds because it did have queer representation, but because it was like almost like, you know, it was at a time where people were still encouraged to hide. And I'm not going to say that doesn't happen now, especially in other places and depending on your family. You know, like you have these stories where it's almost like it's tragic and it's sad, and it's like, oh, well, you know, that they can't really be together. And just having it be like a romance where it's a coming together of these characters and they can have their happily ever after is just so needed.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. I, like you said, Hallmark movie season, there are all these movies on, and I'm waiting for the day where we have as many queer holiday kind of movies like that as there are, you know, the straight ones. I'm looking forward to that day. I think, you know, progress is definitely being made, but there's still room for improvement.
I think that the book industry is way beyond the movie industry and
absolutely
the industry in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, like you mentioned, I think YA is paving the way, and now romance is following suit. And yeah, it's definitely, the publishing industry has been groundbreaking in that regard.
Definitely. And I love, you know, that it's even like with, like, throughout the ages, like you have like middle grade books about, you know, characters of all genders having crushes on each other, which is just as important, because, you know, like, it's not like, what is it? It's not like that's just a grown up thing. And I think that that's like an important thing to note too, because a lot of people will be like, oh, this is inappropriate for age level because, you know, like these two girls have a crush on each other. Like, no, that's literally how life is. I mean, if it's, you know, a middle grade book about a boy and a girl having a crush on each other, nobody bats an eye. And I think it's very important that, you know, you have like the joy from the younger age, like, you know, it doesn't have to be a pining, unrequited crush. Like, you could have a crush in middle school, to the happily ever after.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I think that, you know, establishing that very young, very early with young readers goes a long way to kind of breaking those, kind of like those, the cis heteronormative idea of, you know, what should be represented and what's like, you know, okay, that you don't need to like put warning labels on things for like relationships. Like, there's like, no need to do that.
Exactly. It's just like, it's just how it is. And I think that is awesome because, you know, well, I should say awesome, but also a lot of those books are challenged, but it's awesome that they're coming out and that they're being supported And I just can't wait to see the next thing that comes from you, because I mean, like, you look at the cover and you just want to squeal. It's adorable.
Yeah, I've been so lucky with my covers. I love what Avon has done. I probably have like a lot of, I've put together these big PDF packets for my covers. They always deliver more than, like, they exceed my expectations, and they're always just so beautiful, and I love them. So I'm excited to, I haven't even finished writing my next book, but I'm excited for whatever the cover is going to eventually look like.
Well, thanks again. This has been absolutely lovely. And I do hope that you come back and chat with us about your next book when it comes out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest today was
Alexandria Bellaflor.
And Count Your Lucky Stars will be, supply chain issues aside, hopefully, fingers crossed, will be on shelves of the libraries and the bookstores in February of 2022. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage and make a date to read this book. That was a bad pun. And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.